Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome to New Charis Ministry. I am once again grateful and happy to see all of you and happy that you are also tuning in or have tuned in into our online broadcast. May God richly bless you and protect you in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you, O God, for another opportunity for you to speak with us. Father, clean me, use me to be a blessing to your people this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We serve a living God, a God who really cares about us. And whilst we were yet sinners, he sent his only begotten Son to come and die for us. That is how wonderful the God that we serve is. He's always thinking about us and he does not want us to perish. Hallelujah. This morning, I'm speaking on the topic, Jesus, the friend of sinners. Hallelujah. Jesus, the friend of sinners. A lot of people do not understand why Christians cannot let certain people be. Why Christians cannot let other people who are non-Christians be in their own corner because they have chosen to be non-Christians. Or people who are living in sin to be in sin because it is their own choice to be in sin. Why do we go around converting people? Why do we go around speaking to people about, you know, our beliefs? You know, why? We do that because we have a Savior who is a friend of sinners who do not want anyone to perish. He do not feel happy and he does not enjoy that people should perish. And that is the same nature that he has given us and commanded us to, for us to also love people who are sinning and convert them unto himself. And for that, he gave us that commission, that work to do, to go into the world and preach the gospel so people will come to believe. Hallelujah. Shall we read our first and our main Bible verse today? Hallelujah. We are reading from Luke chapter 7, verse 49. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" Hallelujah. Who is he that also forgives sins also? Hallelujah. Shall we read from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15? Hallelujah. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Hallelujah. Of whom I am chief. Of whom I am number one of the sinners. Of whom I was known as a sinner. But Christ came into the world for people like me. Jesus Christ was known to be a friend of sinners, not because he was befriending sinners to join them in their sin, but to save them from it. Hallelujah. That is why 1 Timothy chapter 15 said that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ came into the world to save sinners. Hallelujah. So he was a friend of them, not because he wanted to join them sinning, but to save them. Hallelujah. To save them. So he always created an opportunity so that sinners can come unto him, and by his message, parables, and teachings, that sinners are turned away from their sins and they know God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is the kind of God that we serve. He loves you no matter your situation. Hallelujah. And he does not love you just for loving's sake. His love and his friendship is for you to convert and become a righteous person. Hallelujah. That is the mentality that Christians should have. Not to ignore the unrighteous, not to ignore the people who do not know Christ, but to use the word of God to get close to them so that we can convert them. We do not get close to them because we want to join them to do what they are doing. We do not get close to them because we want to, you know, enjoy the worldly life that they are enjoying. But we get close to them in order to convert them with caution so that we do not fall. Hallelujah. If you do not get close to them with the word, how will they convert? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So please, it is very important for you to learn the word of God. It is very important for you to be very grounded so that the fact that you get close to sinners, or the fact that we live among sinners or unbelievers, we do not become like them, but we use the power of God in us and the word of God to transform them. Hallelujah. Christ did not come to the world to indulge in sin, but to call sinners to repentance. So he will always take the opportunity to call sinners into repentance. We remember Zacchaeus. When Christ called him, he was a great tax collector. And for that period, tax collectors were considered as sinners because they do not do the right thing. They do not give the correct taxes. They overcharge the people. They were friends of the oppressors. The people were oppressing people. You know, tax collectors were deemed as great sinners. But Christ, being a friend of sinners and calling people into repentance, sat at with them and called them unto repentance. And we all know what the Zacchaeus story. Zacchaeus come down from the sycamore tree. You know, Christ called him so he will extend the hand of repentance to him. He is the God who loves sinners, not just for loving them alone. He loves to transform sinners. Hallelujah. He loves to transform sinners. Shall we read 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11? Christ love for sinners is to purify impure people, to purify people who are in sin unto righteousness. Hallelujah. So you cannot take the love of Christ for granted. For all that he came to do for us, it is not for us to have the license to continue to sin, but it is for us to have the opportunity for our impure lives to be cleansed so that we will become people who have been purified. Shall we read 1 Corinthians chapter 9? Verse 11, or do you not know that evildoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy or drunkard, nor the slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. That is what God is able to do. He is a purifier. He is one that calls you and cleans you because he knows that the impure will not enter into the kingdom of God. He knows that the sinners will not inherit the kingdom of God, and he do not want anyone to perish. Hallelujah. And this is a great reminder to the church of Corinth, and said, look, do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do you not know that fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do you not know that idolaters will not inherit the kingdom of God? People who worship idols, people who are fornicating, people who are cheating on their spouses, people who are swindlers. Do you not know that these people will not inherit the kingdom of God? And this has become the normal norm now, that everybody is, every married, you know, most married people, that most married people are cheating on their spouses today. Hallelujah. Most married people are cheating on their spouses today, and it has become the new normal. But the Bible is saying that, do you not know that these people will not inherit the kingdom of God? They are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So Paul was just letting them know that you were among such people. And because of the love and the power of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, that loves sinners and calls them unto repentance and cleans them, he called you, cleansed you, and today you are among the saved. That is the power of the blood of the Lamb. That is the power of the God that we serve. He calls the impure into purity. Hallelujah. Mark this scripture down. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. So that anytime that we begin to judge people so much, anytime that we begin to, you know, despise people, anytime that we think that they are not worthwhile for us to spend our time on them, convicting them and praying for them, remember that you were once like them, but it has taken the grace of God and the power of God to save you from those acts, and you are even still a work in progress. Hallelujah. So do not cease preaching for and praying for the sinners, praying for the unbelievers in your family, praying for your colleagues who are unbelievers. Do not cease praying for them, and do not cease teaching them and preaching the gospel to them, and also using your life as a signpost of the gospel to them, because we are called to a mission of saving the lost, a mission of having compassion on people who are dying. He says that men that sleep with women are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. You were once like them. So you see, even in our world today, there are a lot of people who were homosexual, lesbians, who have been cleansed and saved and called into the mission of preaching the gospel. That is what Christ can do. He is a lover of sinners. He loved us first, and because of his love, he chose to come and die for us. So he loves us, but he does not want us to sin, to stay in our sin. His love is not accommodative of persistent staying in sin. His love is to redeem us. Hallelujah. He transforms sinners into saints. Our God transforms sinners into saints. When we read Luke chapter 7, verse 37 to 50, we will get this idea. He transforms sinners into saints. And that is why you may know somebody in your secondary school. You may know somebody in your vicinity. You may know somebody in your family who was, a notable hardened criminal, liar, fornicator, womanizer. Yet when the power of God reaches that person and transforms him, he changes and he becomes, a renowned preacher of the gospel in your family. And sometimes, as people as we are and as human as we are not able to forget about their past, and we still see them in those lines. Yes, you can see them in those lines. But the God that we worship is merciful, and he's a God that loves sinners. So when he extends his hand of mercy to you and you accept it and he cleans you, he changes you from a sinner into sainthood. You are called a saint. Hallelujah. Because he is the God who loves sinners, and he is a God who just don't love them as loving sake. He transforms sinners from sinners to saints. Hallelujah. Let's point number three. He turns a persecutor to a witness. Hallelujah. That is the God that we serve. May the Lord turn all the persecutors in your life into witness on your behalf. Hallelujah. In our world today, the prosecutor is the one who does all the investigations and bring a case against you. The one who brings case against you based on the facts gathered. Hallelujah. And you are in court, and the person who is supposed to bring case against you then tends to become a witness in favor for you. That is the God that we serve. You may be a prosecutor of those who preach the gospel. You may be a prosecutor of the message of Christ. You may be somebody who is a hardened hater of the gospel and Christians. You may be somebody who is spewing all sort of negative theologies, negative, kind of messages and writing things that will confuse people on the internet, on Facebook, and all those kind of things. Today you have waged a war against Christians. You are a prosecutor of Christians. You are damaging, trying to damage the image of Christians. We have no problem because we have a God and a Savior who always turns prosecutors into witnesses. People who will witness the gospel. So I have seen many people saying Christianity is this, Christianity is that. No, we have seen people who were much more deadly than you. We have seen people who were much had deep unbelief than you. Apostle Paul was one of them. In fact, he persecuted, and killed the believers until one day Christ found him, changed his life, washed him, and turned him from a persecutor, and a murderer of Christians into a witness, and called him into his suffering. Hallelujah. So Christ loved every one of the people who are speaking against the Christian faith. And one day, he's going to call them, cleanse them, and they, with their followers, they, with their people that were listening to them, will come unto Christ. Hallelujah. Let's read 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 to 13. 1 Timothy chapter 1, hallelujah, verse 12 to 13. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. Hallelujah. This is Paul speaking. He said that he was once a blasphemer. He was once a persecutor. He was once a violent man. But the Lord showed mercy unto him. The Lord is a merciful God who do not discriminate. He shows mercy to all men. And in fact, he loves sinners. And he changes their hearts into righteousness and calls them into the ministry of saving the lost. Hallelujah. The God that we serve is a God of sinners. Hallelujah. This is Jesus Christ who loves sinners, interacted with sinners, and the Pharisees who saw themselves as righteous, yet were actually sinners and living in sin, were accusing the one who was without sin, but love the sinners and bringing them into repentance as somebody who is a sinner. Hallelujah. And sometimes that is what happens. The self-righteous people are always there pinpointing who is clean and who is not clean. Yet they themselves are not clean. We are not supposed to be doing that as Christians. Our goal is to go out and preach the gospel to them that have not believed. We should not be in the business of staying in our churches, only in our churches, and waiting on people who already have heard the gospel to come unto us. We are not an assembly of people who do not care about what happens in their locality, who do not care about whoever is sinning and whoever is not sinning. We are called to care about the sinners. And that is why we cannot stay in the church buildings. That is why we cannot stay in there. We meet there to discuss among ourselves. We meet there to learn the gospel. But we learn the gospel for ourselves and for the people out there. So we need as a church to just stop meeting in the church building, to also extending more of the time to reaching out the people out there. Reaching out the people out there. It is not only for a few people in the church. So that you say that the evangelism team will do that. What about the others? We are all Christians and called to spread the gospel. So the main focus of every church is to reach out to the poor, to rescue the perishing and save the lost. That should be our attention. Hallelujah. Our attention should move away from how to make our churches attractional, how to make our churches like a corporate institution, how to build new big edifices and all those things so that it will attract people and the rest. No, that should not be. That should not be the focus. It is good that we get a comfortable place of meeting, but the comfortable place of meeting does not serve our purpose of rescuing the perishing. Hallelujah. It plays a very little role. So we need to change from that perception on to the sinner-oriented kind of ministry, unto saving the perishing, unto going out and reaching out to people with the true and unadulterated gospel. It hurt my heart that those without the true and unadulterated gospel are out there preaching. And those of us who understand the true word of God with the true meaning and the true power of God have just isolated ourselves and we are not missional focus. Hallelujah. And when we are mission focused, we are just focused for big crusades, not on one-on-one meetings. We need to change. Jesus sat at table with unbelievers. Jesus gathered and people came unto himself. Jesus sent the 12 out to go and preach. Jesus gave a command to his disciples to go out into the world and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. This is what we are called to do because we have a God who loves sinners. He loves them because he wants to save them. Just look at yourself. If somebody did not preach to you, just look at yourself with the time that you were deep in sin, fornicating, robbing, doing very, very bad things. Just look at yourself. That if people left you on your own for you to corrupt, look at how your life would have become. You were deep in addiction with drugs, cocaine, weed, and other things. But people extend some sort of love, and the power of the gospel that is so powerful and is able to overcome everything came on you and you were converted. Now you don't want to convert others. That is selfishness. When you get something that is very good, you open up for people to come. The peace, the love, the joy in the Spirit of God asks people to come unto Christ so they will also be able to enjoy this kind of environment, this kind of peace that you are enjoying. We are called to love sinners, not for us to join them in their sin, but for us to convict them, for us to help God save them, for us to do what our Lord Jesus was doing. He was calling them into repentance. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ was a friend of sinners. Are you a friend of sinners? Not just because you will sit and do things with them, but you will call them unto repentance. Hallelujah. Shall we read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15? For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we, yet without sin. God loves us. Jesus Christ loved us because when he came, he experienced temptation. With all the temptation, he did not sin. He did not have sin in him. Hallelujah. He did not have sin in him. So he understands your weakness, and that is why he wants to save you. Christians must understand the weakness of people who are not, you know, Christians. He is the God that transforms the prodigal sons to redeem sons. Hallelujah. We know the story of the prodigal son. This shows that God loves the prodigal son, and he is willing to turn them into redeemed sons. Hallelujah. God wants every prodigal son, every prodigal daughter to come unto him. If we have this understanding, we'll have a desire to go out and preach the gospel. If we have this understanding, we will not leave people unto themselves and say that, yes, they have chosen to be, so they should be. God loves the prodigal son so that he will change him to become a redeemed son. Hallelujah. Shall we read 1 Thessalonians? Hallelujah. Shall we read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Shall we read? For they themselves report that kind of reception you gave us. They tell us how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Yes. They tell us how you turn to God from idols to serve the living God. So people who are serving idols, don't worry that they say they have repented, because God is able. He's able to turn those who are serving idols to people who propagate the gospel. That is what the church of Thessalonica, you know, there were people who were serving idols. And when the grace of God came to them through the preaching of the gospel, they turn from idol worshippers into people who were called into this redemption grace that we have. Hallelujah. He is a God, a friend of sinners, not for sinners to enjoy and keep on sinning, but to change them and transform their life into a life that is worthy of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. The last is transform a desert to God's garden. Your life that is like a desert. Some of us, our lives like a desert. Nothing is happening in our lives. Nothing is happening in our lives. Our lives are not fruitful. Our lives are full of pain and agony. But when Christ sets in and when Christ comes in, a life that is like a desert will be transformed into a blossom, you know, a life full of fruitfulness. Shall we read Isaiah chapter 35 verse 1? The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom like a rose. Hallelujah. When God comes into your life, everything that is like a desert in your life will blossom like a rose. Hallelujah. Just submit to him. Just know that you are a sinner and you cannot save yourself. But he that loves you is capable of changing your waste life. He that loves you is capable of changing your life into a life of blossomness, into a life that is fruitful, into a life that you are called to become a member of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. God, who is a God and loves everyone. He is the lover of sinners because he wants to call them unto righteousness. When people were saying that desert, who is this man? Who is this man? Matthew chapter 9 verse 11. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciple, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? He loved sinners. Because that is the purpose of his coming, to come and die for us. Hallelujah. You are very important to Christ. You are so important that he cannot desert you. You are so important that even though you are sinners, he loves you to the extent to come and die for you. Do not despise the sinner in your family. Do not despise the unbeliever in your environment, in your community, in your company. Show love to them. Hallelujah. Because you were once like them. And through the showing of your love, minister unto them so that they get changed. If you don't have that compassion, then people will still remain in their sin. And they will continue to cause pain in the society. Hallelujah. Look at the number of murders, the number of kidnappers in the society nowadays. That means people lack true repentance. And this is where Christians are called into action. We need to speed up. This is the time to speed up, to preach the unadulterated word of God, full of power and action, that is able to convict people, not messages that will just, you know, tickle people and let people shout and let people scream. That is all. But the power of God that is able to transcend every life and permeate every part of the body to cause us to change. Hallelujah. The word of God, like a double-edged sword that is able to pierce deep, to clean, to solve, to call us unto repentance, so we will not have those bad ideas of kidnapping, those bad ideas of raping, those bad ideas of killing for ritual money. But we will have the hope in Christ that we will know that if we stay in him truthfully, he will turn our life that are like deserts into a blossom rose. He is capable. I have seen people being changed and people being, you know, called into righteousness for their life. We were poverty ridden, changing into riches. We are example. I am through example of the grace of God. When God touched my life, changed my life, he turned me from a sinner, he turned me from somebody who do not believe to a believer, and called me unto the loving grace and here I am preaching to you. He can do that for you. Do not think that your sin is so great that God cannot forgive you. He will be able to forgive you, and he can forgive you. And in fact, he is the only one that can forgive you, no matter your sin. No matter how deep you have gone, he loves you and he can cleanse you. He can nurture you. Look, the life that is ahead of you is full of misery. It is full of pain. Why she yelled one kwa a bit castle? Or froze a free baby, I want to a Jamaica wonimu. For froze a free crono, I will bonimu. Or froze a walk away ritual money. How would the one cock ship unim send the abbey free or say branding chain? He is much more powerful than all those gods, because even the malam that you have gone to, he is capable of changing that malam. The malam that you have gone to that you are afraid he will kill you, come to a god that the malam is afraid of. He is calling you out of your sin, because he says that, behold, I am the friend of the sinner. I came because of you, to cleanse you, to purify you, to sanctify you, to justify you, and to make sure that you are a son of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Shall we be on our feet? He is calling you today. Search within your heart. Search within your life. All the things that you are, like sinful life that you are leading, no matter how deep, no matter the abortions you have caused, no matter the deep lies you are telling, no matter the situation you find yourself in, he is calling you, because Jesus is the friend of sinners and he is the only one that can save you from your sins. Hallelujah. Shall we pray a personal prayer and say that, God, forgive us, cleanse us, we are sorry for the things that we have been committing. Father, we thank you for loving us, even though when we were yet sinners, you came to die for us, and you forever love us. Father, cleanse us, 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 cleanse us. Father, for the lies, cleanse us. For the armed robbery, cleanse us. For ritual money, cleanse us, oh God. For the abortions, cleanse us, oh God. For the lies and for the little and great things that we are doing, which are not, oh God, in line with the gospel, cleanse us, forgive us our sins and trespasses, and redeem us, oh God, from the life that we are living, the unholy life that we are living. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Have mercy upon us and turn our lives around from a desert to a blossom rose kind of life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, I'm extending a hand of faith to you. If you want to give your life to Christ, he is willing and he's capable to save you, protect you, and be your God forever. Shall we pray this prayer? Lord, forgive me my sins. I regret of all my sins, and I come to you as a sinner. You are the only one that can save me. Forgive me, cleanse me, deliver me from all unrighteousness. I present my life, my heart, my body unto you as a servant. Be the Lord and master of my life. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.